Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2 this morning. Mark chapter number 2. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I ask you now, Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we're asking for a word from heaven. Lord, I want your people to hear from you this morning. I don't want them to hear from me, Lord. I just want to be a messenger delivering an all-important message, Lord, that Jesus saves and hell is hot and heaven's real. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful, Lord, that later we'll get to remember your body and your blood. And Lord, if it be your will, Lord, if there's someone here lost today, God, I pray your Holy Spirit will convict them. Lord, I cannot convict them, but you can. And Lord, I thank you for the ones who are saved and know they're saved. I thank you for a Bible that teaches us that we can know that we have eternal life. I ask you now this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this place in this hour, Lord. Get rid of all the hindrances and distractions of this world. Lord, may your people hear from you. And God, I just ask you now, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit this morning. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Mark chapter number 2. We'll start in verse 1. The Bible says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as above the door, as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorying God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I want to preach probably a 2, maybe a 3-part message here. If you look at verse number 5, the Bible says, When Jesus saw their faith, and then in verse number 12, the people said, We never saw it on this fashion. I want to preach a message this morning to you. When God sees your faith, you'll see His fashion. When God sees your faith, you'll see His fashion. See, the Bible teaches us that God is able to do abundantly above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. Our minds cannot fathom what God in heaven is capable of doing with a group of individuals that will allow Him to work through them. See, we see what we see with our eyes, and to many of us, that is all we will ever be, is all that we can see. Folks, God works by faith, not by what? Sight. So when God sees your faith, you'll see God's fashion. Many of you maybe have never witnessed the abundantly above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. I could sit here and tell you stories that I've heard from preachers, but I have my own personal stories from my own family to churches that I've been a part of things that God said, you know what, Drew, if you'll just let me see your faith, I'll show you just what kind of God I really am. Folks, we don't just serve an ordinary God. We serve an extraordinary God, a holy God, a righteous God, a worthy God, a God that deserves for His people to live by faith. So this morning, my question to you is, how much do you really desire to see God's fashion? And do you have the faith to see God's fashion. In verse number 1, we'll preach through this over the next 2 or 3 weeks, Lord willing, unless he moves us. In verse number 1, let's read it. And again, he entered into Capernaum and saw after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Can I say, it was noised that he, Jesus, was in the house. I wonder, when is the last time Jesus was accused of being in your home? I wonder when the crowd outside of believers or unbelievers in Red Level or Andalusia or Evergreen or Op or wherever you may be from, I wonder if your coworkers, the people you see more than you even see your family sometimes, which isn't your fault, but you have to work with them 40 to 50 hours a week. I wonder when's the last time your testimony just spilled out grace, God's grace, and they said, hey, something must be going on in that man and woman's house. Jesus must be present. I wonder if that's the testimony of just our families right here in New Hope Independent Baptist Church. Is the testimony, is it noised that Jesus has been present in your home? Or is it noised that you're struggling and beaten down and heartbroken and bitter and angry and mad and sad? Folks, all those are not fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Listen, this morning there should be some noise that Jesus has been present in our homes. If we're ever going to have the faith to see the kind of fashion that God really is, there's going to have to be some noise that Jesus is present. But he has to be allowed to be present. When Jesus is in your house, can I say this? Things will be different. When Jesus is in your house, things will be different. Well, what do you mean, Brother Drew? I mean this. Why do Christians continue to watch the things that they watch? Although the Bible is very clear that it is not okay to look upon some of the things that we allow in our homes. Let me tell you something. You say, well, if Jesus were here, I wouldn't do it. Listen, God is an ever-present God. You have a Holy Spirit that you cannot get rid of if you're saved in here this morning. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. So every single time you sit down in front of that TV and you turn that wickedness on, or every single time you sit down in front of that computer and you look upon that wickedness, gentlemen, listen, God is with you. And it's not okay, and you're never going to have the faith in your home to see the kind of fashion that God really is until you realize that he's an ever-present God. He's an all-knowing God. Doesn't matter if mom and dad never find out, teenagers. If you're saved in here, I'm talking to you. You need to start living like God is indeed with you, because he is. The things we listen to. Listen. Sure, it'd be easy to say, well, if I could see Jesus sitting next to me in my vehicle. Folks, he's closer than sitting next to you in your vehicle on your way to work. He's living within your heart. If you're saved, you ought not listen to the wickedness of this world. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folks, God knows what you're listening to. And listen, you think, oh, I'll read my Bible at home, I'll pray with my family at home, but I'll do this stuff outside of home. Hey, your home's never going to have the faith, Daddy, that it needs to have, because you're the head of it. You need to step up to the plate and be the man of God that God wants and expects you to be. You need to be the man of God that your wife needs you to be. You need to be the man of God that your children need you to be. And you'll soon realize that not only do they need it, Daddy, they desire that of you. God wired them to desire you to be the leader. And when you start leading a godly life, listen, mom and those babies, they'll love you more than they've ever loved you before, because you're doing it God's way. And you'll soon realize you'll have a house full of faith, and God will just start showing you the fashion that he really is. But I wonder where your faith is. Can I say, when Jesus is in your house, things are different. God's presence in your life will be evident. Amen? It should be very evident everywhere you go that God is present with you. Every situation you come into, understand this, God is not surprised by any of them. Nothing ever surprised God. He created everything. He knows everything that's going to happen, that's already happened, and that will ever happen to anybody, anywhere. He's never, ever once been surprised. That's a pretty cool thing to think about. How many of you ever been surprised before? God's not surprised. God knows your situation, and His presence in your life will be evident. You're still doing the same things you used to do, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here. I'm just telling you, the Bible says old things are passed away, and all things are become new, created a new creature in Christ Jesus. Listen, there is a change at salvation. You now have one living within you that hates the things of old, that hates sin. You now have the Holy Spirit of God that convicts of sin. What does that mean? That means when you think about doing wrong, the Holy Spirit of God is going to say, son, daughter, don't do that, or else, don't do that. You know, many of us have that thought and we do it anyway. Listen, the devil never once told nobody not to sin. What I'm trying to tell you is this morning, there's evidence of salvation. We live Christian lives, yet we choose on purpose to still dishonor God in the way we live. You say, does that really matter? It really matters, because you're never going to have the faith to see the fashion of what God really wants you to see. Folks, listen. And you can't just come here on Sunday and Wednesday and make it work. As the home goes, so goes the church. Y'all all right? You know, we're getting ready, Lord willing, this week we'll get a price on putting some classrooms up on our church. And we need that. But here's the thing. How are we going to look past what it's going to cost? Because we serve a God that's bigger than what it's going to cost to supply room for the children that He's given us to minister to. Amen. Listen, He's doing His part. It's time for us to do our part. Amen? Who would we be to step back and say, well, that's going to cost... No, listen, you'll never outgive God. Your faith is not that big. You'll never outgive God. He gave to you, you given to the Lord as He's given unto you. He's added unto our church. What kind of church would we be to hoard a bunch of money and not have room to minister to the people that God has made us responsible for? Folks, look, He's a pretty big God, and here's what I'm saying. God's doing big and great and mighty things in Red Level, Alabama. But He's not done. Folks, He's just getting started. The question is, where's your faith? Are you done? Are you satisfied with where we're at? Or do you want to see more souls saved and baptized and more homes changed and more lives healed and more hearts healed and more young men and women come to know that no matter what their home life is about, hey, there's a church down there in Red Level I can go to for some security and for some comfort. There's some men there who love me. My home life may be a mess, but I know I can go there. And there's men in that church that I can go talk to, that I can spill my heart out to. They'll cry with me. They'll love me. They'll hug me. There's ladies there. Listen, there's young ladies in this community that need you, ladies, because they don't know what love is. This is where they should be able to find that. This is where they should be able to come and have Jesus Christ introduced to them and show them that, hey, greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Honey, listen, Jesus Christ died for you. He died for me. And I want you to know we're a church. We're a loving church. Hey, it says right out there on the sign, you're all welcome. Because look, they are all welcome. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We should not be picky. Who God brings us, listen, He's given us a responsibility for each and every young person that's over there right now. It's our job to minister to them, to see that they grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and spending some money and making it a little bit more comfortable for them. Hey, you know what God's going to do? He's going to add more and more and more and more. Folks, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. God's presence will be evident in your life. In Psalm 16:11, the Bible says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand." There are pleasures forevermore. Exodus 33:14, and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Can I tell you, you can rest in God's presence. It's good to know that at the end of the day, you know, and I'm not perfect, neither are you, never claim to be, ain't ever going to claim to be, but look, I lay down sometimes at night and it's hard for me to go to sleep. Why? Because I got things on my mind. And here's the problem with this, I can't control any of them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do? What are we going to do? What do I say to this guy? What do I say to that? And it's all like, hey, rest in the Lord. Understand that God knows your problems. He said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Look, when we cast something on someone else, it ain't ours anymore, is it? Right? Give it to the Lord and just trust that no matter what happens, he already knew what was going to happen. He wasn't surprised by the problem. Give it to him and rest in the presence of the Lord. Exodus 33:14. Jeremiah 29:13. I like this. "And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." You know what I like? That we don't have to play hide and seek with God. He's not running and hiding from us. He said, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." I am so thankful that I have a God that's ever present. Seeking God and finding him always produces spiritual results. Seeking God and finding him always produces spiritual results. Psalm 119 and verse 10, the Bible says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." I wonder how many of you would say that's my prayer. You know, yeah, I seek God with my whole heart, but there's a lot of his commandments that I just don't agree with. Want me to tell you why people use other versions of the Bible? Y'all ready? Because they don't agree with what God's word says. It's not good enough. It don't fit their sinful lifestyle. You could take other versions of the Bible and condone a whole lot of sin just for the simple reason that the wording is changed. But it's the same. Folks, things that are different are not what? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard people say. It's the same thing. Then why'd you get another one if it's the same thing? The truth is, you don't want God's word to be your foundation. But can I tell you this? It doesn't matter what you think. God's word has always stood and will always stand. It has stood the test of time. It's the only thing that's going to stand for eternity. God's word. You better choose God's word. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments." You ever think and ask yourself the question, why is it that you would want something more than what God has given you anyways? What else could anyone offer you more than eternal life through Jesus Christ? What else could anyone offer you more than their only begotten Son to be bruised for your iniquities? Beaten, spit on, laughed at, mocked, persecuted, tortured, beyond measure for my sin and for your sin. Why would any Christian, why would any preacher ever want more? Why would we not just stay to the commandments of God? Seeking God's presence with you, with your whole heart, can I say it will cause you not to wander from God's commandments. Look in verse number 2 of Mark chapter 2. The Bible says, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." Can I say, many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room. Jesus preached unto them. This place was full because Jesus was in the house. You see, in verse 1, there was noise that Jesus was present. In verse number 2, because of that noise, we see a result of a full house. Y'all all right? Let me say this. If you'll start having the faith to say like Joshua, choose you this day whom you'll serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, that is so contagious. So contagious. Because what will happen is, members will start saying, hey, what in the world's going on in such and such's house? Why is the Lord blessing them like that? What is going on? I didn't know they had such things. I didn't know they're seeing things that I sure would like to get some of that. And all of a sudden noise gets around, hey, it's because Jesus is in the house. And by the way, there should be noise that Jesus is present in this house all the time. Amen. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying it should be evident, and it is very evident. There's new families here today. Why? Because somebody said, hey, Jesus is in the house down there. You ought to come get some of that. Hey, look, how hard is it to say, hey, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we have Sunday school. 11 o'clock, we have service. 6 p.m., we have service. Wednesday night, 6:30. And let me tell you something people are looking for right now that is long forgotten in churches all over the place. Kids programs. So many churches don't have anything to offer. But folks, look, God has given us the ability to have that. And that is a huge open door for families. They want their children to not be bored at church. And I'm not saying preaching's boring, but what I'm saying is, you remember when you went to Sunday school and you didn't have to sit through 2 hours of the preacher preaching. You got to go to your Sunday school classes and they taught you about David and Goliath, and that was exciting. We have junior church. What a ministry. I'm so thankful for the workers over there. I'm thankful for all the hours that are invested. I mean, yeah, we get them a snack. We get them something to drink. They make a mess. But look, how much, what would be worse, not cleaning up the mess or no kids? We'll patch holes in the walls over the next few years, I guarantee it. But it'll be all right. We'll have good stories behind it. It'll be all right. Listen, what's better? Spotless, empty house, or a little bit of mess, a little bit of something we can fix to know that souls are being saved and lives are being changed. Hey, I'll take the mess. Y'all all right? I'll take the gum under the seats. Because, hey, I picked off a lot of pieces of gum. But, hey, if everything's spotless and everything's clean and nothing's used, what are we doing? Not much. How great is your faith? We're not doing much. But I'm thankful we have the ministry here. I'm thankful that the word's getting around, that Jesus Christ is ever present at New Hope Independent Baptist Church. I'm thankful that families aren't ashamed to say, hey, come visit us. I like the phone calls when they say, hey, Brother Drew, look, I got a couple young families I've been inviting. I think some of them are here today. Look, that wasn't my fault. I told you this stuff's contagious. One of you start doing it, they'll say, look, well, you ain't going to outdo me. I'm going to bring two people to church next week. And pretty soon, hey, everybody's inviting somebody. You should have a goal. Start slow. Invite one person this year. Make it your goal to see one person that does not go to church come to church with you this year. Just one. Imagine if each one reached one this morning. Well, where would we be this time next year? Just one. And then they reach one. You see what I'm saying? The stuff is contagious. But listen, if you're not excited about it, they're not going to be excited about it. That's a fact. Why is it today all over our country churches are empty? Well, it's because there's no noise in the streets that Jesus is present. There's no noise in the street that you're excited about what God has done for you and what God has done for our church. Folks, listen, you should always be thankful for what God has done, because at a moment's notice that hand could be removed and we'd be sitting in a pretty dark spot. Always, 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 in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Always be thankful. We should be out everywhere, inviting people in. and praising God for what he has done here for us at New Hope Independent Baptist Church. And please don't get me wrong. I could care less about numbers. But I'll tell you what I do care about. I care about souls. And there's an awful lot of lost souls in this town right here. I don't even know how many people live in this town, but I can tell you this. They don't all have a church home. They don't all have a Savior named Jesus. And that's important to me. I don't care if the number's at 50 or 5,000. Folks, without Christ, what are we doing? Every individual was died for. You say, well, how's that my problem? Well, somebody made you their problem when they told you about Jesus. It is our problem. Because when you die and stand before God and God says, hey, you remember the man that I told you to tell about me? And he maybe will lift back the curtain to hell and show you his face. And he might say, I had you for him. Your life, your testimony lined up with his. He was going to listen to you. I had his heart prepared, but you said no. Hey, folks, you know the Bible talks about the blood being on your hands. That's when we tell God no, we're not doing what he's going to tell us to do. If God tells you to do something, to witness to somebody, listen, he has already prepared their heart for you to do so. Believe it or not, God's not going to tell you to do something that he's not going to take care of. It might not be that they get saved that moment, but it might be your testimony where they say, hey, maybe I'm not the only one who's lived this broken life. Maybe I'm not the only one who has a drunk dad. Maybe I'm not the only one who has to come home every day and watch my daddy beat my mama. Maybe I'm not the only one that don't have a mom or don't have a dad. You say, how could you come through something like that? Jesus. 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 It's all about Jesus. Folks, how will they hear without a voice? God did not save you to be silent. I'm not saying everybody's a preacher, but God did not save you just to be quiet. God saved you for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and understand who you are in Christ and how you identify with Christ, understand your spiritual gift and how to use it, and to go tell someone else the good news that you have been given, to teach others. When Jesus gets exciting for you, can I say this? He will begin to be exciting to those around us. And I can sense something going on here. Jesus is exciting to a lot of people right here in this church. I'm grateful that you guys are catching the vision. You're getting it. It's about Jesus. And what he is doing is very, very exciting, and word's getting around. I can never walk into Dollar General without hearing a testimony from one of the ladies down there saying, hey, I hear so much about your guys' church down there. You know what I say? Won't you come be a part? Do you go to church somewhere? No, but I work Sundays. I'm like, listen, if you ever get an opportunity to come see what the Lord's doing at New Hope Independent Baptist Church, you won't regret it. And it's just an open door. I hear it everywhere I go around here. Even in Andalusia, you walk into the grocery stores and you hear people say, you go to that church in Red Level? Yeah. The Lord lets me pastor that church. And I'm so thankful. But I don't ever want to be prideful about it. I just want people to know that God is still at work. And he's working full time. We're going to unplug here this morning. I'm going to have Miss Barb come to the piano. I don't want to leave without a hymn of invitation here. Give you an opportunity. We'll pick back up here next week.